Good morning. The reading is 2 Timothy chapter 1. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. He had saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel.
As we come to God's word taught, in the past you spoke through prophets and in various ways and means. In these last days, you've spoken by your Son. And what we have now in our hands is your precious word to us. Thank you for the Bible. Help us to submit our lives to what you have said and taught. And we pray today, this Christmas morning, we'd rejoice again at what you call us to do and how we are to live. Thank you for the gospel. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here are some headings. Receive it, believe it, and share it. That's the message of Christmas, not a box of chocolates, although it'll soon feel like a lot more chocolate than you expect or want, but something much greater, way, way more precious, something that will only do you good. What is it that we are to receive and to believe and to share? Well, the answer is in those three verses or two verses that Flo just read. It's Christmas Day, and those verses are a brilliant testimony or a brilliant set of things to look at, because without being obvious, they are precisely the meaning of Christmas. Most people, when they think of the Christmas story, will have several things in mind. Angels, shepherds, Mary and Joseph, and a donkey probably, and a camel. And we had those at candles at car park carols, and just probably presents. But that's all detail around the heart of the story. The heart of the story is something to receive, something to believe, and something to share. Look at verse 9. Paul, writing to his young apprentice Timothy, wants him to grasp a few things. The first thing is that God saved us. And you know, the most important thing about being saved, it's not because of anything you've done. Every other religion in the world says you have to be good enough to be saved. Only Christianity says you can't be. And if you can't earn it, but can still get it, then it's a gift. Salvation is a gift. It's something you get given that you've done nothing to earn. Nothing to deserve. Verse 9 says, God saves us because of his own purpose and grace. Grace is when you're given something you've done nothing to deserve. That's the point. Christmas is about God saving people when they don't deserve it. Now then, I have a gift here. Anybody like these? There's some hands going up in the barn, and sorry, probably at home as well. These are my favorite Lindors, irresistibly smooth milk chocolates. This is going to be a gift, and I'm going to give it to someone according to my purpose and grace. It's a gift, and I can promise you that the person who gets it has nothing to their credit that means they get it. It's up to me whom I give it to, and when I choose to give it to them, I want you to notice what happens. Okay, I'm going to do this. I don't know if you can spin the camera, Ollie, as I do this. That would be a risk, but we'll try it. Okay, here we go. I'm off to give this gift to someone according to my purpose and grace. Now, they went to Hannah, and she'd done nothing to deserve them. I just chose to give them to her. That was my choice. It was a gift of grace. Did you notice what happened when I gave it to them? What did they do? What did they do, Caroline? Or was that Richard? They took the gift. Okay, they received it. Hannah took it. And that's it. At Christmas, God was sending a gift to the world, and that world includes you and me, and we've done nothing to deserve it. But what do we have to do to be saved? What do we have to do to be saved? Nothing other than receive it. So, 2 Timothy 1 verse 9, God saves by grace. Will you receive it? Some people don't realize how good a gift it is. Better than Lindor milk chocolate creations. So they don't receive it. Some people see that they've been given a gift, but they don't like the look of it. And so they don't accept it. Some people can't believe they've been given a gift. They're still stuck thinking they have to earn it. They know that they've been rotten people and said rotten things. So they don't receive it either. Look at verse 9. God saves not because of anything we have done, but because of grace. So will you receive it? There'll be a pile of Christmas presents under the tree back home, unless you've opened them all already. In fact, has anybody opened all their presents already? Oh my goodness, there is a family there that has. Well done, you guys. People have given you gifts all wrapped up. It would be mad, wouldn't it, to leave them under the tree, not to open them, not to receive them? Well, many people do that with Jesus. They don't receive him. God himself has come to you. God saves by grace. Will you receive it? Secondly, will you believe it? Grace has appeared in Jesus. That's what you need to believe. God's gift and whom he's given it to was a plan in his mind hundreds of thousands of years ago. In fact, Paul says it was before the beginning of time that God planned. The grace was given, verse 9, in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Verse 10, look carefully. What does it say? But it's now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus. Did you hear that? Something extraordinary happened that first Christmas morning. What had been hidden and waiting for ages and ages was suddenly made known. It became clear. God revealed it. Look at verse 10. Grace has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, when something amazing happens for the first time, it can be hard to believe. I bet that people seeing electric light for the first time found it very hard to believe. Maybe there was a light bulb that went on and they couldn't understand how that happened. Very hard to believe what was going on. Or listening to someone's voice down a telephone for the first time. There's an older one and a slightly newer one. I know most of you have got much newer ones than that one as well. But imagine being the first person to hear someone's voice down a telephone. You'd find it very hard to believe it was really happening. But over time, they did believe. And they showed they believed by turning the light switches on in their houses and picking up the phone and talking. When God's grace in Jesus appeared, no one believed. Even his closest friends deserted him when he was arrested. But once they'd seen him crucified and risen from the dead, then they believed. They accepted what they'd seen was God's grace appearing in a person. Now, you've been given gifts, and they've been wrapped up, maybe in a cardboard box or with lovely wrapping paper. God's gift of salvation is not a wrapped up gift like that. It is a person. It is the eternal Son of God come to us to be with us. Now, grace isn't just an idea or a teaching. Grace from God is a person. Will you not just receive salvation? Will you believe in Jesus? Do get past the amazing birth story. It's wonderful. We've sung carols about it, but get past that. Get to the Jesus who came to die for you so that your sin could be forgiven and rise again to beat death. Get to that. That is the gospel message God has given us. When you believe it, It means accepting what God has said about the world and recognizing that what he teaches is true. Now, that is hard to do. It's a bit like if you've been in the driving seat of your car all your life, deciding to stop the car, get out, and allow Jesus to be in the driving seat. And when he's in the driving seat, he'll take you where he wants to go. He'll tell you what he wants you to do. And suddenly you're not in control anymore. But if Jesus is who he says he is a great and good savior. And he will take you places that are good for you. And he will teach you things that are good for you. Will you believe him? Allow him to be in the driving seat. Lastly, share it. The gospel of life, that is. That's as good an image as I could get of sharing. I guess handing over a present or passing out the Lindors, that's sharing. Well done over there already. What Paul explained to Timothy in verse 10 was that it was Jesus who destroys death and brings life and immortality to light through the gospel. Think about your life for a moment. You are alive right now. I can see most of you smiling back at me. I don't think any of you are asleep, but we can test that. Everybody wave. Okay, thank you very much. We've got everybody waving. What is the one thing that will happen to everyone, no matter how rich or poor they are? It'll happen to you and it'll happen to me one day. If not by COVID or some other illness or by a car crash or some other accident, we will all one day die. So what we need is someone to come along who has power to beat death, someone who can bring light and immortality to light. Immortality means life with no more death. Well, that is what Jesus did when he appeared 2,000 years ago. He pulled out the sting of death. Have you ever been stung? I've been stung by one of those before. It hurts. And the thing you need to do as fast as possible is get the sting out. Did you manage to get the sting out? It wasn't in. It just stung you. It stayed in. That would have been sore. Is it out now? Okay, that's good. The sting of death is coming our way. And yet Jesus has come and pulled it. He has said, you don't need to die forever. You can rise and live. Jesus appearing and living and then dying that horrible death in our place and then wonderfully rising again afterwards means that he's pulled the sting of death. The sting of death can't kill us forever anymore. Now that is news worth sharing, isn't it? If you found a way to stop bees or wasps stinging anyone ever, you'd want to pass that on, wouldn't you? Well, if you know a way to stop the sting of death, then pass that on. Share that. The gospel is about life and immortality. Life in Jesus now and through him to eternal life forever. Perhaps you got one or two of those Christmas letters. In fact, let's see how many you got. I reckon we've got 5 so far. Anybody got more than that? Christmas letters in the post? They come in cards sometimes. A side of A4 with all the news. You've had a few. You've had a few. People put news in their Christmas letters. They share the news. Most of it is good news. They sometimes say one or two sad things, but most of it's good news. People write those letters, put them in cards, put a stamp on, and stamps cost a lot of money these days, and send them to friends. Some of them hand deliver. Thank you to those who hand delivered cards to me. I enjoyed those. Well, if we can send cards with news, will we tell people the good news of the gospel? Not keep it to yourself. Will the name of Jesus be on your lips when you have conversations with people who don't yet know him? Will his free gift of rescue be something you long to tell people about? Will the Bible, in which the news is passed on, be your most precious reading? Wouldn't it be great to be sharing the good news with something we prayed for, And God helps us to do more and more this coming year. So that's it. Have you got it? Receive it, believe it, and share it. Receive it, salvation by grace. Let's have that last PowerPoint up. Believe it. Grace has appeared, and share it. The good news of life and immortality. This Christmas, as you open one more big present or unwrap one more sweet, remember the greatest gift the world has been given and that you know about it. So receive it, believe it, and share it. Let me pray for us. Please have that passage, 2 Timothy 1 in front of you. We praise you for saving us and calling us to a holy life, Lord. Thank you that it's by grace and not because of anything we've done. Thank you that you planned it before the beginning of time. And in the last 2,000 years, we have seen it through Jesus coming to earth. Thank you that this grace has been revealed through the appearing of Christ our Savior. We praise you, Lord, that he's destroyed death and he's brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And so we pray, as we've enjoyed that great good news, that we would be those who share it with others. Equip us to live a life that is distinctive and to speak words that point to you, our Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, for those of you who've opened your presents, you can stay around for ages, but the rest of you would probably like to be getting on. We're going to sing a closing hymn. It's Once in Royal David City. And again, it takes us back to the story 2,000 years ago. Let's enjoy this before we finish.